Ronnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with John Foley, managing director of the Safer Buildings Coalition, an organization that works to ensure that in-building systems support needed communications for both public safety personnel and the citizenry they serve. John, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you, Johnny. It's good to hear from you today.
So, John, today you guys made a cool announcement with between the Safer Buildings Coalition and NICET, the National Institute for Certification in Engineering Technologies. You guys announced the availability of a new in-building public safety communication certification program. What is this program about, and frankly, why is it needed?
I appreciate you asking. Thank you, Donnie. So the in-building public safety communications, sometimes known as ERCES, ERRCS, or even BDAs. You know, we love our acronyms in the telecom industry. These are critical life safety systems that ensure that first responder communications work correctly inside buildings. These have been installed in buildings for over a decade now, but more recently, since 2009, they're required in some circumstances by fire code. Okay, so these are being deployed more and more frequently, and more companies are being attracted into the space. So the experience level, frankly, is beginning to dilute a little bit, and so qualification of personnel is becoming really important. Fire and building code officials nationwide, they look to NICET certification for fire alarm and sprinkler systems, for example, or as they call them, water-based systems. But there, to this point, has been no in-building public safety communication nationally accepted accredited certification program. There are fire code refers under qualifications of personnel to the FCC General Radio Telephone Operator's License, or GROL. But it's really our experience that that's not adequate to make sure that you can truly design and install correctly, one of these in-building public safety communication systems. So we began working with them. In October of 2018, 2.5 years ago, and began a dialogue with them about, hey, can we work together to create one of these programs? And we've done that. The program now covers the specific and ever-evolving subjects required to correctly design, install, inspect, maintain these systems.
Okay.
This program is going to test, certify, and track the successful demonstration of the training and job experience necessary to prove that you're competent to do this work.
Okay. Well, you mentioned NICET. Why NICET, and what made the Safer Buildings Coalition to say, hey, this is who we should partner with to do this?
That's a great question. So we knew we needed an accredited organization, one with high integrity, high skill, a great track record, but also really, really important, Donnie, that they be known to the fire code officials out there, the authorities having jurisdiction. Here comes another acronym, the AHJs. And, that the AHJs could trust this certification. These are fire life safety systems. And, code officials out there take this very seriously. They want to know who knows what they're doing. As I said, there's a lot of folks coming into the industry. This is a very exciting industry to be in. Some people are more experienced than others. And it's really, really important that people know what they're doing. So we selected NICET. They've been a great partner. And I'll tell you, I've learned a lot in working with them, how this process works. There is an accreditation body that comes in and examines all of their processes and audits them to make sure that everything they're doing is legit. They've got close to 150,000 technicians over since 1961 that they've provided certification to. They've got a really nice platform where not only they could administer the certification, you can go on their system and look it up and verify that someone has the credential. There's a complaint process. If someone's not performing well, you can lodge a complaint. They'll do an impartial investigation and decide on discipline up to and including revocation of the credential. So it's a solid program that's well established in creation of job task analysis and all the other things that go into building a certification program like this. And you know, we relied very heavily also on the very, very generous volunteer work of just an ungodly number of subject matter experts that volunteered to come in, work with us, work with NYSET to do the job task analysis, which is sort of the outline of the program, and then, you know, framing up the practical requirements, framing up the test questions, and then evaluating and scoring the test questions and giving them weight. Big effort. We owe them a real debt of gratitude and tremendous work by NYSET to administer and follow through and create this program. So we're very, very, very pleased.
Okay. And so is this a training program that's being with certification at the end, or is this purely certification?
That's a great question. Yes, this is not NYSET is not a training organization, although if you go out to their website and look for partner organizations, there's a good number of training entities that are partners. In fact, Safer Buildings is a partner. We provide training too, but you know, the best analogy I can give you is if, let's say, someone wanted to be an attorney. You know, someone would have to write the curriculum and the textbook. Institutions of higher learning would have to teach those classes. And then an independent organization like the Bar Association would have to administer an examination, score the examination, and either pass or fail the candidate, maybe vet their other credentials, their background, their resume, and those kinds of things. And issue the credential, issue the license, and say this is a certified attorney. And then after the fact, continue to administer the license and maybe manage continuing education credits or handle complaints about performance, those kinds of things. So in this model, or in this analogy, Safer Buildings is on the front end of that, creating the curriculum. We're actually writing a handbook and a study guide that should be available in the next couple of months. We should start shipping it. We've already taken some pre-orders on it. Grateful for those. They're really big help. And then training trainers and training organizations will begin to teach this class. And then when people are ready, they will contact NYSET, register for the certification exam. They will go to a proctored testing center. It's operated by their partner, Pearson View. You know, so you show up and there's someone there that tells you what you can and can't bring and you know, watches you take the test to make sure that everything is done legitimately. After you pass the test, it gets scored. If you have a high enough score, they'll then take a look at your other practical qualifications. This could be, for example, for the technician level one, you have to have 6 months of experience. For tech two, it's 2 years. And tech three, it's 5 years of experience that your boss or someone will have to attest to that you've got that experience. And NYSET will vet that. You know, there are four different certifications in the program, tech one, two, and three, and design. Tech one is the one that went live last week on July the 14th. And then Tech 2 and Tech 3 will be available later this year. And design should be available in the next coming weeks.
All right. Very cool. So what do you think this certification is going to accomplish in the industry? And also, what are some of the risks if something like this doesn't exist?
Wow, that's a great question. So the first thing is it's going to raise the competency level of the industry. You know, it's going to create a benchmark that says this is what a, you know, what we call qualification of personnel. These are the minimum requirements for qualification of personnel. So it's going to do that. It's going to also create an objective way for code officials and building owners and, you know, all the stakeholders that are involved in these kinds of projects to differentiate between skilled and unskilled vendors. You know, and You know, one of the ways that shows up is, I'll give you a couple of examples. An in-building radio repeater system for public safety is only required in buildings where there's a problem. You know, if there's signal in the building, you don't need a system. So it's really important that good testing be done ahead of time and that systems are only installed in buildings that really need them.
Right.
You can put too many of these systems in and they begin to interact with each other and cause noise and interference out in the outdoor network. And that's a real problem. It's something that we're working on with the FCC and with our No Noise Task Force. But that's another story for another day, Donnie. But, you know, it's really important that people know what they're doing. But also, and maybe less understood is, building owners are the ones that are essentially, and their contractors are the ones that are evaluating these bids. You know, a lot of the folks that do this work cut their teeth in the cellular in-building industry where the wireless carriers were the customers. You know, those are pretty savvy customers. They, you know, if you turn in a design to the Verizon or the AT&T or the T-Mo team, they understand what they're looking at, right? And if they get three bids and, you know, one bid is $200,000 and one bid is $220,000 and one bid is $15,000, they're smart enough to understand there's something wrong with the $15,000 bid, right?
Right.
Building owners and general contractors, electrical contractors, this is all pretty new. And, you know, they may not have that same level of savvy. So it's important that there be a level playing field for the bidders there so that when you submit a bid, you have a good sense that you're submitting your bid against somebody else who also knows what they're doing. And so we think it's going to solve a lot of problems. It's going to give confidence to the fire code officials about who knows what they're doing. And the other thing is, this is a great workforce development tool. I mean, this is the building blocks of a workforce, for lack of a better word, an apprenticeship-like program where you can step up through different levels, earn your way up, and, where higher levels of certification will distinguish you in your field and hopefully create a career path. So, this is a very interesting subject too, because when you look at the sheer quantity of buildings across the country that probably have in-building connectivity problems and need work, we're talking in seven figures in terms of the quantity of buildings that need to be corrected. We really have to scale the workforce. We have to scale the technology. We have to scale the processes to get, to get these systems and get these solutions into buildings fast enough so that our citizens and our first responders are protected. This is going to be another way to do that, attracting people in, give them a good career path, attract them into the workforce. And so I think this will all fit together nicely, and hopefully will be one of the things that's one of our missions is to do well while doing good. So we'll be protecting buildings and protecting people, but also creating jobs and hopefully lowering the overall cost per square foot because of scale. Hopefully we hope to see a lot of good things come out of a program like this.
Very cool. Well, so for the people that are looking to get this kind of certification, are they going to have to travel and take it in person somewhere, or how does all that work?
I would refer them to NICET.org, NICET.org, and go to the tab that says Certification Programs, and underneath of Electrical and Mechanical Systems, you're going to see In-Building Public Safety Communications, and all the details there about what the test requirements are, how to apply for the test, where you can take the test, all of that information, the pricing is all available on the NICET website. And as we mentioned, right now, the Tech Level 1 is available. I know people are concerned, well, where's the book that I can learn Tech Level 1? Well, the good news is Tech Level 1 is the basics. Anybody that's got some experience in the industry from a technician standpoint, we'll have a pretty good chance of passing that examination. They got to give it a try. And obviously, as the as we start moving up the ladder into Tech 2, Tech 3, and design, there's going to have to be some serious book work. I've seen that, you know, there's some math, there's some science, there's some jargon. And I think, but all of that will lead to, I think, a better understanding of why people are doing what they're doing. I think the result will be better work, a better understanding of how these machines work and how they ought to be configured and designed and deployed. And so I will watch for the training ecosystem to grow. Safer Buildings is taking a look at participating in the training ecosystem. But, you know, there are lots of good folks out there that are capable of providing training at this level. You know, many of the OEMs, I've been hearing that some of the system integrators as well as some of the distributors out there are thinking about putting on training classes. So I think you're going to see over the next 12 months the evolution of a training ecosystem that'll support this need. We're at the very bleeding edge of it, so it's going to take a minute to get it stood up. But once we get it going, we're confident that we have the right program. And Safer Buildings will be working in the background to make sure that we're helping to support and grow that ecosystem as well.
All right. Well, and we're going to include a link to the NICET website, the relevant link, in the description below the podcast here. So, John, congratulations on getting this far. I know you guys have worked really hard to make this happen. And again, congratulations and thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, thank you, Donnie. And I want to just reemphasize that it was literally a small army of people who volunteered their time. And think about it, a lot of this happened over the right in the teeth of the pandemic. So a lot of the things that in the past had been done in person had to be done virtually. It just added an extra level of difficulty to it. And we are just ever so grateful for the leadership from the NICET team, the Safer Buildings Coalition members that made up a big, big chunk of the folks, the subject matter experts that volunteered, and even companies that are not yet Safer Buildings members, but we hope them to be, that have kicked in from all over industry and the code official world and the FCC license holder world, have all participated in creating this. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to IWCE, Urgent Communications, and Informa. Donnie, most of all, thank you to you for your support and your interest in what we're doing, and thanks for your time today.
All right. Well, thank you, John.